every year at Advent time, a pastor kind of needs to make a decision about whether to give in to singing Christmas carols in Advent or not. Pastor Dave and I had that discussion. For both of us, theologically, liturgically, we feel much better holding off until Christmas Eve to sing Silent Night. But some churches do sing Christmas carols during a worship service during Advent, and so we've kind of acquiesced and we're doing a couple here and there. Some people are ready, like the stores, to start putting their Christmas decorations up at Halloween. I remember, actually, it wasn't even Thanksgiving. It was the middle of November, and there was a Christmas carol on one of the Christian stations. I think we rush things a bit. I know that while we hear and sing carols outside the church, and that during Advent, the words sometimes tend to strike somber notes, there really is a reason for waiting. Liturgies during Advent remind us of sin and darkness and captivity and our need for help. And yet, in the midst of the Advent season comes Gaudete Sunday, today. Today is the third Sunday of Advent, and it gets that name from a medieval Latin introit, rejoice. It's a command to remember that in the midst of darkness, light shines. In the midst of penitence, there is joy. You may have noticed that in lighting the Advent candle this morning, the newly lit candle is pink, not purple, as purple was lit the last two Sundays. Our Advent joy is in remembering and celebrating who is and what God has done. As the psalmist put it, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." The God that we worship is the God who brings us salvation, who is our rock in the midst of all of life. As we look back at the history of God's people, we can't help but see how much joy was a part of their lives. They were joyful and praised God for everything, from a good harvest to the birth of a baby to whatever. The covenant people of God in ancient Israel celebrated God's goodness and grace in all the happenings of their lives. But rejoicing in everyday life pointed to greater causes for joy too, which are praising God for what God has done for Israel. What counted most for the people of Israel was the character of this covenant God, who was the one to be worshiped and praised. Israel's joy was grounded in the divine character of God, God's love and care, which are always at work, no matter how dark the night might be or how drastically we might see our situation. This was Israel's comfort and peace, and the response to God's people was always joyful praise. You know, to say that we live in a time of great fear and anxiety is not even debatable. What's ironic, though, I think, is that of all the things that we've done, that we've created, that we've invented and produced, those things that we were told were going to make life easier and better, I think they've actually created more anxiety and more fear. Remember, we're supposed to be a paperless society. How many of you stopped using paper? I keep everything in my computer on paper too, just in case. In fact, there's a reason to believe that those technological advances have not all been helpful. Jacques Ellul, a French philosopher, named this the technological imperative, which means we do because we can. If you have a machine that will do this, then do it. That's what the machine is for. But sometimes those decisions aren't always in our best interest. Alan Culpepper, the founding dean of the McAfee School of Theology, comments in the New Interpreter's Bible that after a long first chapter of Luke, we have chapter 2, the birth of Jesus, being related in just two verses, with only five setting the stage. Now, chapter 1, there were 80 verses. We have this long, long account of the Annunciation of the births of both Jesus and John, with 23 verses being devoted to John's role as a prophet and the forerunner of the Messiah. And then we get to chapter 2, and what Luke gives us is the brief, plain, striking story of a young couple going on a journey and having a child late at night. You remember the story? A decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all people should take part in the world's first census. Purpose for that was the systematic taxation. Everybody went back to their hometowns to be registered. And Joseph and Mary went from Nazareth down south to Bethlehem, just a few miles below Jerusalem. Joseph was from that town, the city of David, and he was a descendant of Israel's greatest king. While they were there, almost right after they got there, as a matter of fact, Mary had her baby. Must have been a time of great fear and anxiety for them. And yet, it was also a time of joy. English playwright penned these words. His name is Christopher Fry. The darkest time of the year, the poorest place in town, cold and a taste of fear, a man and a woman alone. What can we hope for here? More light than we can learn, more wealth than we can treasure, more love than we can earn, more peace that we can measure, because one child is born. Remember the words to that one of our favorite hymns? The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Because this child was born, we can face all of the anxieties and fears in our world. We all have them in one form or another, in one way or another. What Luke wants us to know is that even in the darkness and anxiety and fear, the light of joy still shines. A father and son were sitting at the dining room table, and the mother was bringing things out from the kitchen for their meal. And when she had gone back into the kitchen to pick something up, the father asked the little boy, "Will you say grace tonight before dinner?" And the little boy said that he would. So he looked at what his mother had set for them on the table, and he said, "God, I'm not sure what this is, but thanks anyway. I'll eat it." Amen. I'm sure my kids wonder to say that sometimes too. Too often, I think, Our gratitude is dependent on our circumstances. A beautiful hymn was written by Martin Rinkert during the 30-year war to help us look beyond our circumstances and to see the hand of God. Rinkert was a pastor in Saxony, Germany, as the turbulent years of that war dragged on. For a time, he was the only pastor in town, and his pastoral duties caused him to preside at almost 4,500 burials in 1637 alone. In the context of this sad situation, these unfavorable circumstances, he penned the words to a song that we love to sing. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, whose wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices. You know, thankful people don't have to have everything going their way in order to rejoice. Did you ever think about the fact that you don't have to be happy to have joy? Often, I think we pretty much see those two things as synonyms. I'd like you to think, though, that there's really a big difference between those words. Happiness is based on circumstances. Joy is based on the Lord. Happiness is like the moon, waxing and waning. Joy is like the sun, always shining, even when night falls or clouds cover it. Happiness is like a kiss. Joy is a golden wedding anniversary. Happiness is born in the mind. Joy is born in the heart. Happiness comes from humans. Joy comes from God. Happiness is like exchanging Christmas gifts. And joy is the awareness of what Christmas is all about. Can you see the difference? Joy is so much more than happiness. Joy makes us different. Joyful people think differently. Joy is so much more than happiness. When we think differently, we don't allow ourselves to have bad thoughts occupy our minds entirely. They're not going to let a situation, the cares of the world, take away their joy. I said to my husband yesterday, many of you haven't met him. He's a grouch. I'll just say that. I'd like to say he's a curmudgeon, but I don't know. He's a grouch. And yesterday, he was so down, and I had no idea why. I must have asked him four times, did I do something? Why are you looking at me like that? And finally, by the middle of the afternoon, I said, you know, when I'm feeling bad or sad or angry, I have found that if I act as if I'm happy, joy will take over. He tried it. He was actually nicer by the time we had dinner, so... So, but joyful people act differently. Their attitude is different. It's positive. Their behavior is different. It is God-honoring. Their speech is different. It's uplifting. Joyful people react differently. They don't respond harshly, but encourage lovingly. They encourage, not discourage. They build up. They don't tear down. As a third century man was anticipating his death, He penned these last words to a friend. It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world, but I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy in which is 1,000 times better than any other pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are called Christians, and I'm one of them. Seems to me that joy is something that we receive and need to receive from God. It's better than happiness. As much as I hope you each have a lot of happiness in your life, I really wish you joy. Joy is a kind of being. Joy is a quality. You know, you have joy when you don't. Joy is this sense of security that even when things are bad, that they're going to be right in the long run. However painful things might be right now, God can always turn those things into good. And we can have joy in that knowledge. The shepherds went to the manger and found the child. And on the way back to their flocks, they were glorifying God and they had a sense of joy. God wants us to have joy in this life. This was the message for the shepherds. Be not afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Did you get that? Do not be afraid. Why? Because of great joy. Doesn't read, be not afraid, be courageous instead. It doesn't read, be brave instead or be strong instead. None of those qualities are the antidote for anxiety and fear. The opposite of anxiety and fear, my friends, is joy. The joy of Christmas will keep you from being afraid. Christmas is a season of joy because it tells us of a loving God who came into this world because he loves us as a parent loves his children, as a father takes a child's hand to walk across the street, as a mother rocks a child in the rocking chair to help her go to sleep. When we snuggle up against his everlasting arms, we have established a relationship with God, which fills our life with joy. Advent joy is a gift to us. Like Advent, hope and peace, we're given joy in Jesus Christ, whose grace and love are shown in his life, death, and resurrection. That this joy is received from Christ means it can't be taken away by the things that happen to us. This contrasts with what we usually consider as happiness. We want to be happy. We want all of our desires to be met. But happiness comes and goes. It depends on our circumstances, what happens to us, whether it's good or bad. The joy, we receive from Christ, however, is with us no matter what our lot. Paul said that even when he was sorrowful, he was always rejoicing. The deep theological meaning of joy doesn't mean that we're not going to have any sufferings, that life is going to be peachy keen forever. God never promised us a rose garden, but it does mean that in the midst of those sufferings, and through them all, we have this abiding joy in Jesus Christ that will see us through no matter what. May it be so for you and for me. Amen.